welcome to this new edition of So French, the podcast about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stefan de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson.
And this week, selling fighter jets, saving the earth, delivering two eulogies and being the king of Europe. Macron's agenda this month is fuller than a stuffed Christmas turkey.
And with independence à la mode in Europe, the French Corsicans are making their voices heard, voting for more autonomy.
And mot de camp brings us a fresh French word of the day.
But first, there has been an election again.
Yes.
We just can't get enough of these.
No.
And this time an election with a landslide victory, to say the least.
Yes, finally a landslide victory for the Conservative Party. They've
been waiting.
Yeah, they've been waiting for a while. They had a lot of bad election results.
But this time they won.
Yeah, legal affairs as well. And this time they finally won because it was an internal election. They finally chose a successor to Nicolas Sarkozy as the leader of their party. And 75% of the voters picked Laurent Wauquiez. He was the not uncontroversial favorite for a long time. So he won with 3/4 of the votes. Almost 100,000 members participated, which was seen as a success.
But to say, though, it was just slightly over 40%.
Yeah, it was only 40%, but Wauquiez said last week that he would be very happy with 60,000 voters. He probably already suspected that it was not going to be a huge turnout, but still 100,000 people.
And they knew more or less from many people saying already beforehand that he was going to win. Not any competition, more or less.
Absolutely. So who is Laurent Wauquiez?
Well, we talked about him a little bit before, or several times before. He is seen as a very much a right-wing man of the Republicans Party. He has, for several years, been trying to push for a more right-wing agenda. And, he's been talking against a society where people are being assisted, as he says, like against social programs. He's also very much far right or right wing when it comes to immigration.
Yes.
And
he also opposed the introduction of gay marriage 4 years ago. He was also a minister of European affairs under Sarkozy, but he came out as a Eurosceptic in a book that he wrote, Europe, Everything Must Change. He called for more protectionism. And it's not really clear whether he is against Europe or a Eurosceptic or in favor of more European collaboration, because traditionally the French conservatives have always been in favor of more European cooperation. But he seems more on the Le Pen line. And that also made Marine Le Pen, the leader of the Front National, say a couple of weeks ago, why don't you join our party? Because you're basically doing a campaign for our party. But he doesn't consider himself right or extreme right. But it does mean that the Républicains, so the Conservative Party, will follow a more, extreme right-wing line.
Interesting, though, when you listen to his program, it's a very conservative, and you imagine this old, grumpy, grey-haired French man. And actually, he's very young. He does have grey hair. Okay, yes, that's true. But he's only 42 years old.
Yes, only 42, which is very young in French politics. And of course, he presents himself as a candidate of the province, of the countryside, against, the elitist Parisian politicians.
Against the president, he's criticized Emmanuel Macron for only being the capital, the Paris or big region
of cities. Yeah,
president.
Which is funny or ironic, because Wauquiez himself, he attended the elite schools, the Sciences Po in Paris and the ENA, the school for the elite civil servants. So he's part of the elite as well. But he knows that a lot of voters like that rhetoric. So that's why he's talking like that. Not everybody, though, is very happy with his election, right?
No. As I said, many decided not to even vote. Members of the Les Républicains Party decided not to vote at all in this. And actually, one who even left the party altogether after him being elected is Xavier Bertrand. He's a former minister. He was a minister both under Jacques Chirac. He was a minister under Nicolas Sarkozy. And he immediately announced that he is actually leaving the party.
Yeah, and the next day he was followed by five more party members, not former ministers, but still very prominent party members. And others may follow suit, maybe also Alain Juppé. He is a traditional a member of this party, the former prime minister.
Far more centrist,
indeed. But interestingly enough, a very close collaborator of Alain Juppé, Virginie Calmel, she became the number two of the party. So Laurent Wauquiez is already trying to...
He's very much trying to bring together this extremely divided party. Because, yes. I mean, we've been talking about this many times before, how, you know, the party's been falling apart, obviously, especially since the elections. So as Wauquiez presented his new team earlier this week, you can see that he's really trying to bring in people from all these different factions. You have Virginie Calmels, of course, but then you also have people who have been very close to the National Front, for example, and then more moderate. So, I mean, he's trying to get this team and show that he can unite the party.
Yes, so something that's really necessary because the Les Républicains is the most important opposition party. But more and more members...
They haven't been doing much of opposition lately.
No, they haven't. And a lot of those members, member of parliament, they joined already La République En Marche, Emmanuel Macron's party. So he will face a very difficult job.
So, Stéphane, what do you think then? Do you think he will succeed in this bid to unite the party?
Well, it's going to be a very difficult task. And if Alain Juppé will leave the party, well, then it probably means the end of Les Républicains. It will be a splinter party or a very small-sized party competing with Marine Le Pen. Because what's interesting, we're seeing here also the huge damage Emmanuel Macron caused in the French political landscape, because he basically ate all the moderate left, the moderate right, and the center parties. And Les Républicains is just one of the latest victims of Emmanuel Macron.
Now, there was another election as well. this last week. And it's Corsica,
yes,
who elected their regional representation. And we've been talking a lot about Catalonia over the last couple of months and all of that. And Corsica, of course, being a region who has been over the years, decades even, fighting for more and more independence and autonomy. And this last vote... very much was a proof of that.
Yes, indeed. Over 50% of the Corsicans voted for the nationalists. That they had the largest victory in history. The nationalists are led by Gilles Simeoni. He is a Corsican-born lawyer. He considers himself an autonomist, so that means that he doesn't necessarily want more independence, but he does want more autonomy. So you have to think about, for instance, education, maybe even some taxes. He wants more autonomy for the region because Corsica is now divided into two departments, and as per the 1st of January, it will become one single region. This is why the elections were being held. So he wants more power for the region of Corsica. But he doesn't necessarily want to be independent from France.
Why not? Why not?
Well, I think the island really needs the French money. It's a small island in the Mediterranean Sea with only 320,000 people living there, very much dependent on tourism. They don't have a lot of resources, so they really need France. Although they have been independent...
Yeah, we remember there has been real bids for independence, or at least...
they were independent when France stole the country, actually, in the 18th century. Only for a couple of years, a very short time, they were independent. And they, when France took over, a couple of years later, they got a special tax regime that was thanks to a local-born French person, Napoleon Bonaparte. He's Corsican, and his tax regime is still in place. So you pay less taxes in Corsica, for instance. The VAT is lower. Well, they have all kinds of benefits. So it's not really interesting from a financial perspective to become independent. However, for many, many years, the island was the place with the highest number of terrorist attacks in Europe, mostly committed by the FNLC, the Corsican Liberation Front. They put down their arms 2 years ago, but they already have said that if they don't get more autonomy, then France will have to fear a similar situation as currently in Catalonia. So the FNLC, they're not armed anymore. Well, not at least not officially, but they, you know, they're looking very critically to what's going to be discussed in the next couple of weeks.
What is Paris saying about this? What's the government?
Well, Paris is a bit embarrassed because the French government is very attached to the central state. They don't like independent regions, so they don't really know how to handle this. The prime minister has already invited Simeone to come to Paris as quickly as possible to discuss the new situation, but it's pretty likely that Corsica will indeed get more autonomy. There will maybe be an official status for the Corsican language as well, and also maybe limiting the right to buy property in some areas to people who are not from the island, because Corsica is very loved by tourists, so a lot of people buy property and makes it very expensive for Corsicans to buy houses. And probably Paris will have to give Corsica a lot of the things that they are asking. They will not ask for independence yet, although Simeone, he has said that it might be a topic maybe in 10 years. So it is a ticking time bomb. But for the moment, Corsica will get more independence or more autonomy from the central capital.
And that brings us to today's French word of the day.
Yeah, mot de camp. Bonjour. So, Maud, today, what's your word of the week?
Hi, Stephen. Yes, the French word of the week is the word zadiste. So, you may have heard of a zone to defend, ZAD in French, near the city of Nantes. There is a big scandal around the project of airport on this area. So, zadists are the people living on the ZAD area. There's around 400 persons who are living on the ZAD of Notre-Dame-des-Landes to protest against the airport project. So the terms ZAD and ZADist first appeared in 2010. When I started the project of airport, there are around 15 ZAD today in France, and the neologism ZADist is actually used to refer to a militant occupation that is intended to physically blockade a development project. And the acronym ZAD, Z-A-D, is a detunement of deferred development area. So in 2015, the term ZADist actually entered the Petit Robert dictionary as a militant occupying a ZAD to oppose a proposed development that would damage the environment. And the ZADs in France are organized in areas with an ecological or agricultural dimension. So it's also interesting to know that before the ZAD movement, there was another movement in the Larzac region in the 80s. It was to protest against proposed nuclear power plants nearby. And then, this movement became the ZAD movement. And so to get back to the Notre-Dame-des-Landes project, the French government is actually supposed to make a decision in January about building or not an airport.
Okay, thank you very much. Mot de camp.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
Now, with all these elections going on, Emmanuel Macron, he has been busy elsewhere, actually, this last week. He's been trying to save the world.
Again.
The planet.
The planet, actually, again. Yeah.
Still. Because it still needs some saving. Well, this time it was a climate summit that was held here in Paris. It was called the One Planet Summit. It was not an official climate summit because, you know, we have these COP23, I think it was last time, every year, which is the official UN organization. But this was a meeting that was actually called by Emmanuel Macron, a bit on his own initiative. And it's held then exactly to the day, 2 years after this famous Paris Agreement was signed in 2015.
Yes.
And then, you know, since then, we all know what happened. The US has withdrawn from it, created a lot of chaos, but also uniting the forces for, well, against climate change and for more action against climate change. So this was the meeting. It was held this week and it gathered quite an impressive list of representatives.
Of course, Emmanuel Macron himself, the world's climate leader, also more than 50 heads of state and heads of government, dozens of ministers all around the world, and also Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Of course.
they were among the prominent figures. And as you said, it marks the second anniversary of the Paris Agreement. 2 years ago, I think it was even a topic in our very first episode.
Oh, probably, yes.
So French, 2 years ago. But there was much joy in 2015. And now it's looking much bleaker because, of course, Donald Trump, he was not there in Paris this week.
He wasn't invited.
He wasn't even invited. No, indeed. The American government was just represented by a second-ranked diplomat of the Paris embassy.
Him and Bashar al-Assad. I think they were the only two world leaders who were not invited to this meeting.
Yes, indeed, because the US is the only country
with Syria who is not, who
has been drawn. Yeah. So what happened? Did it actually lead to anything?
Well, there are no money, no actual cash being handed over at these kind of summits. But of course, there were quite a lot of both private companies and governments saying, you know, promising to give money to especially development funds and also saying that they will, it's called green funds, you know, that they will improve or be better in their fight for against climate change. So, well, you know, it's a summit, of course. And I mean, there was no new agreement signed. There was a way of sort of enforcing the agreement that was already made 2 years ago. And I think the most important thing for Emmanuel Macron was, one, to show himself as the leader of the world when it comes to climate change.
Absolutely.
And secondly, show that this can continue without the US or especially then without Donald Trump.
Yeah, and he also issued a stark warning on climate change. He said, we are losing the battle, pretty dramatic, the battle against global warming. We're not moving fast enough and that's a problem.
On ne va pas assez vite. Si on continue sur notre lancée, on est là où on s'est engagé à une augmentation d'en moyenne 1,5 degré, on est à 3 degrés et demi. Enfin, ça n'a rien à voir avec ce à quoi on s'est engagé. Rien.
And of course, it has to be seen whether he will be able to make all the other countries and companies act quickly.
Do you think he's sincere in this way of in this thing of wanting to be the leader, the world leader, when it comes to the fight against climate change?
I have the impression that he is sincere and that he's very aware of the threat we're facing and that he really wants to find a solution. Some scientists, however, say it's already too late. There was a silver lining, though, for Macron. He made a new friend.
Well, you know, they've been sort of having a kind of a relationship already.
A bromance.
Well, they seem to be getting along very, very well. Yeah. Emmanuel Macron and Arnold Schwarzenegger, the former California governor.
Yeah.
They seem to be
a Republican governor.
Yes, but who has very much been in the forefront for the fight against climate change. And yeah, they're very much buddies.
Yeah, they are, and they both put videos on their Twitter feeds with hugging each other and so they're happy to fight against global warming. And we'll probably hear more about this. I'm sure Emmanuel Macron will be back. Now, If you walk around the streets in Paris, it doesn't take you very long to come across homeless people, families, children. It's a very serious problem that's actually getting worse. But now France has found a great but cynical solution to solve the problem. What is going to happen with the SDF, the sans domicile fixe, as they call him?
Well, the thing is, if you can't solve the problem, you hide the problem. I think that's how you can sort of explain it. The thing is, I mean, I don't think that Paris is the only city that is using these kind of measures. I think you have it in all major cities, especially in Europe. It's called anti-homeless designs, which means that, you know, the furniture that is put out in public spaces is actually made in a way that it's not going to be able for homeless people to use them. And this is the extremely cynical way of dealing with this issue. Just to remind that we have about 140,000 homeless people in France, which is an incredible number, and it has gone up. It's like doubled over the last decade, and you know, hundreds of people die in the streets every year. So this is an enormous issue. But so the solution to this is making, for example, using chairs instead of benches, so that the homeless people are not going to be able to lie down in the metro system, for example, for some sleep and some rest, just have no benches at all. You have to stand up. You can sort of lean towards something. That's something new that's been being put up in many metro stations around Paris. And this latest, and I think it may be the most horrible one, that was this week's scandal, we must say, where it turned out that one private parking owner has installed an ice cold shower that is being starting to function if it can notice that someone is standing or sitting underneath or in this place for too long. So you're more or less, you're drenching this person in ice cold water.
Now there's a humanitarian organization, the Abbé Pierre Foundation, which was actually founded in the 50s when to protest against the lack of housing in France. Unfortunately, they still exist because the problem is more urgent than ever. And this month, they launched a campaign to list all the places with these kinds of anti-homeless designs and where they are. It's called Soyons Humains. Hashtag Soyons Humains, which means let's be human.
And they're putting together this whole map of these installations. So, you know, people are being asked to send in pictures and coordinates to where these this furniture are being put up. And the whole idea, of course, is to name and shame those who use these kind of measures. There can be spikes as well. You have spikes in many places so that people are not going to sit down, you know, in the windows or elsewhere. And it's a very, very cynical way of dealing with this issue that is being, you know, as we said, it's getting worse every year, and especially this time of the year where it's getting freezing temperatures in Paris. And I would not like to be drenched in ice cold water and then having to sleep rough in the wet clothes.
Now, there was one homeless person this week who was much luckier than all the other 140,000 in France. He may not be homeless for very much longer, though. Christmas came early for him.
Yes.
A French homeless man at Paris main airport, Charles de Gaulle.
Yes, he was going through, I think, the trash bins or something like that. And what they say is accidentally, or actually just tried to open a door, and the door actually opened, and it turned out that this door led to the offices of one of the cash handling companies at the airport. So this man could just walk in and then take with him a bag of cash. And how much was it?
It was 300,000 euros or about $350,000.
That's so much better than the trash bins, I'm sure.
Absolutely. It was just an accident that he found this bag unattended, a bag full of cash money.
And the police were first saying that, you know, they thought there was this whole setup and it was all planned and all that. But then they went through all the security
footage,
videos, and they realized that he was just lucky.
Yeah, they captured the incident indeed on tape, according to the newspaper Le Parisien. He on the video you can see that he just pushes the door, and he appears surprised when it opens. And then he puts down his suitcase and enters the offices. And there he finds two bags filled with money. The police called it the perfect crime. And they have no clue why this door was open at the time.
And will they be able to trace this money? Can he actually use it?
Well, that's a good question. It's still a theft, of course. He didn't find this money in a dustbin, for instance. So he probably will have to hand it back. They have identified the man, but not by name, but he was in video. So they're looking for the suspect, who's believed to be in his 50s. But if he's smart, then probably since he already was at the airport, he bought a ticket straight away and left the country. At least he will have a very happy Christmas, unless he gets caught before, of course.
Now, education is always something that is being talked about here in France. It's a big topic, always. Lately, though, for not so many good reasons, there was a study that was released that showed that French students, their reading capabilities have actually gone down lately. And they, I think they got somewhere like 34th place in the developed countries. When it comes to reading capabilities. So this was something that, you know, made parents and politicians very worried. But independently of that, it was announced some new educational tools.
Yes,
what shall
yes.
we say? This was not a response, I must say, to the whole thing of the reading, but it actually came just on the back of it.
Yeah, the Minister of Education, Jean-Michel Blanquer, he announced that children in primary schools and high schools, so between 6 and 15, yeah. something like that, they will no longer be allowed to use mobile phones. Not in the classroom, of course, but not in the squares either. All around the school buildings, they are not allowed to use their phones anymore. He thinks it's a good way to improve education, because he thinks that French children are looking on their screens too often. School teachers, however, they are critical because they think it's very difficult to impose such a thing. They don't want to search their pupils.
The whole question is, where are they actually going to put these phones? Because many children have mobile phones they're worth a lot of money to begin with. So, I mean, if they're going to put them away, there has to be in some kind of locker that they
yes.
can. But I mean, this is, of course, a huge debate, I think, in all schools in all countries today, with the younger and younger children are using these kind of this type of devices. And you have both, and you always have those who say that instead of banning something, we should be able to use it in a good way, and, you know, use the mobile phones in our teaching, and, you know, whilst others are saying that this is just a nuisance, it's disturbing the children, it's making them less concentrated. And of course, after all, it's a question also of equality, because you have very different people come from different backgrounds, and of course, not everybody will be able to buy these very high-tech mobile phones to their children.
I even wonder if it's allowed under European law, because you could consider it an infringement of the freedom of expression, for instance. So it
would be able to talk in your cell phone during school.
Maybe it would be interesting
to see
a pupil.
Why don't you bring this case?
I'm not going to school anymore, but it would be interesting to see if there would be parents who would sue the state and then go all the way to European court.
Something else they will be able to do, though, instead of using their mobile phones, is singing. Because that's part of the same package that actually the government has now announced, that they will, all schools will have to have a school choir. Of course, not mandatory, but if children, so but all the schools will have to have one, and then for children to attend or not to these school choirs.
And what if the children would like to sing in their mobile phones? Would that be allowed?
No.
Damn. That wraps this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, please send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, or the TuneIn Radio application, and share the podcast with your friends. If you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with a special festive episode of So French, online and on air on World Radio Paris.
We hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening.
Au revoir.